Yeah, I really, there's not much more to say right now. My heart and mind is so full from what has been happening here in our family we call Cornerstone, that I'm just processing. I do want to share a passage, a couple verses from Joshua, and talk about freedom. You sneak out with Matt. Got this nice sermon outline. Boom, 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 boom. Let's just throw that thing out. In Joshua, we know that they have come out of Egypt and are moving. Mark has a couple pictures just by way of help getting a big view. This is from the International Space Station. It's pretty cool. That body of water on the left, that finger running up through there, that's the Red Sea. That's what was parted up there toward the northern two-thirds end there. They come across, there was the Nile is just out of this picture to the left. And God parted that left finger up there about two-thirds of the way. And we know that because the first city mentioned in the Bible, we know where it's at across the Red Sea there. So we kind of know the general area. They parted that up in that northern two-thirds area. And they were moving. See that little dot of blue clear up in the right corner? That's the Dead Sea. So the bottom of that would be kind of the southern area of Israel. Kadesh Barnea, where the spies were sent in, was just south and center of that. So you would think God would send them across and then up to the Mediterranean Sea and over. But he didn't, because there were Philistines and people over there that he knew they would freak out if they saw these people. So they came across the Red Sea and headed south, and that's called the Sinai Peninsula right there. And the mountain of God, where he received the Ten Commandments, Sinai, is about that, in that dark brown little spot down near the bottom. There's a in the darker brown area, there's a dark brown spot. It's somewhere in that area. And they began to move south along the Red Sea down to there. And then they camped there for a year. And then they left and went up the right finger, that little finger of blue that way. They began to head up that way, heading up to that Dead Sea area where they refused to go into the land. And so God sent them back down towards this mountainous wilderness here, and they spent their rest of their life down there, just wandering, 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 right down there. So then when that generation was about to pass, Moses took them up to that Dead Sea area, and they went on the right side of the Dead Sea. And Moses' last victories were on that right side. Sion and Og were defeated. Moses died there, and then they crossed the Jordan, which you can't see very well, but it runs out of the north, out of the Dead Sea north. And so they're on the right side, just north of the Dead Sea, and they cross. He parts the Jordan River, and they cross over into the land under Joshua's command. Next picture. So there is where they cross to. In the background, that mountain range back there, that is the Jordan River Valley. They would have come down those mountains. They camped a half a mile up those mountains and looked down on the Jordan River there. You can see it at the base. They had amphitheater seating up here as the priest went a half a mile ahead down here, stepped into the water. The waters parted like that. All of Israel, a million so people, are covering this mountainside here, watching with amphitheater seating as the priests step into the water, and it goes like that. We know that's in that area somewhere because it says that they came across the river and came to Gilgal, which is that land, that flat, circly-looking land where all those people are standing around. That's Gilgal right there with the rocks standing up just kind of around the borders. That circle, that area, this plain right here, not just that circle, but the plain area, that whole plain, that's Gilgal right there. And so they crossed, he parted the Jordan River, they carried rocks on their shoulder as a memorial to this place, and it's a little bit of a trek there, to Gilgal. And they encamped at Gilgal right there, getting ready to go into Jericho, to attack Jericho. So that's Gilgal. That's one of the main parts of our story today in Joshua chapter 4, verse 19. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. So that's where they were encamped. 1 million people in this plain, in this area, ready to go, getting themselves together. Now, here's an interesting geographical fact. Today, they have found 5 Gilgals. So Gilgal is not a city. It's not Elkhart or Goshen. It's not a city. It's a place. And what it is was, it, as you saw it there, it was a kind of a cleared away place. And maybe you would think of it best as a campground where anybody, any nation, people group, whatever, you went to Gilgal and you got your act together. You prepared. You got your military forces together. You got ready to go do a mission. That was what Israel was doing. They were getting ready to go in to Jericho. And so they all camped here, got everything in order, ready to go. You could go to Gilgal and have a worship ceremony to your God, whatever your God was. You could go to Gilgal and people worship there. There were things there. So when Joshua said, set up those 12 stones there, there was a bit of a worship and a memory there as well. So people would be coming there to worship. People would be coming there to prepare for military. They could just be passing through, large groups of people passing through, and they knew they could go to Gilgal and just kind of camp there temporarily. It was a temporary kind of Motel 6 campground type thing. That's exactly what they did there. And as they prepare to invade Jericho, they don't know yet how God is going to do that, but they're getting everything in order. God is talking to them, getting ready for them to go and do this. There's work to be done yet, and this is for us. This is for us and for America. So in Joshua chapter 5, God tells them, you need to circumcise the men. And the reason is, they've just spent 40 years in the wilderness, and none of them were circumcised in the wilderness. They came out of Egypt, they wandered in the wilderness, no one was circumcised. And he tells us that in chapter 5, none of your men have been circumcised, so before we go and attack, circumcise all the men. And they do. And so they're healing. Tells us in this chapter, I'm not lying to you, says they're healing. Verse 8, when the circumcision of the whole nation was finished, they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed. Don't know how long that would take. You'd be sore for a while. So they did. We know they went there on the first of the month. And so it's like 4 days later, God says, now I want you to keep the Passover. And so it tells us the dates and the times. So if you're going to be healing from circumcision, you might as well have a little holiday, right? You might as well take advantage of this. And so they're healing 4 days into their healing. And God says, I want you to redo the Passover because you haven't celebrated the Passover either. So circumcision, Passover. Together. They go together in Scripture. They go together. We know that in the New Testament, our circumcision is of the heart, by the Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 2 tells us that, and Romans chapter 2 tells us that. It's circumcision of the heart. It's a cutting of your flesh. It's a marking of the covenant you've made with God. First thing that happens when you make a covenant with God, you are my God. I'm going to serve and walk and follow you, and I want you here. His Spirit comes in and cuts your nature, your flesh, puts His permanent mark on you. And the Passover, obviously, is the blood of Christ, right? The blood of Christ. They put blood on the doorposts of their homes, and the death angel passed over on God's judgment. And now the blood of the cross is on our lives. And so we've been circumcised with the Spirit, and the blood of the cross is all over us, and we are set free. And the death angel passes over. On the day of judgment, you and I, the death angel passes over. We're free. We're set free. So, preparation for the battle. The verses for you and I today and on this holiday and for any day of our life is Joshua chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." And so the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. And while the people of Israel were encamped at Gilgal, they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month in the evening on the plains of Jericho. So they were circumcised, and God says, "Today I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt." Reproach means shame. It means finger pointing. It means that there was something that they had, the people of Israel. There was a dark cloud over them, a shame, a finger pointing. There was something, a stain that was still on their clothing from Egypt. There was something in their heart, in their mind, there was something kind of over them from Egypt. Some mud that had been thrown, some fingers that had been pointed at them, some shame they were carrying from Egypt. And God said, today I've rolled away the shame. I've rolled away the stain. I've rolled away the finger pointing at you from Egypt. They called it Gilgal because Gilgal, just the way they pronounce Gilgal, it sounds like rolled away, the word rolled away. So they called it that. This all needed to happen before they could go into the battle. They needed the shame rolled away. They needed the spot on their history rolled away. Whatever it was, however it shaked out, they needed it rolled away. For them to be free to go into this land, and that's what this is about, freedom, they needed to be circumcised and had the shame rolled away. The shame of the past. So let me explain this to you because you may be a little bit confused so far. I'll use a modern day example. I'll use something that just happened recently in our country. You know Virginia. We all know Virginia. One of the first ones that passed abortion at any stage, any point in pregnancy. They jumped on right away with New York. Abortion's legal anytime. And if that child happens to be born, we don't require medical care here. You can let that harmed infant lie there and die if you want. Virginia, one of the proud colonial states of America, This recent time, they've decided to do away with their holiday, the observance of Thomas Jefferson's birthday, signers of the Constitution, Declaration of Independence. So, one of the founding fathers of our country, they decided we're no longer going to honor Thomas Jefferson. He owned a slave, and that's taboo. So, no more Thomas Jefferson for Virginia, slave owner. And that's our country. That's kind of where our country is going with these issues. And I need to tell you that that thinking and that reasoning is not thinking and reasoning for our country or for our lives. That is not healthy. It's not smart, it's wrong, and it's divisive. And it will do the exact opposite of what God says in His Word He wants to do. What do I mean by that? How many of those early colonialists that had any money at all had slaves? A whole lot of them. George Washington had slaves. Multitudes had slaves. So if you're going to do away with Thomas Jefferson, you're going to do away with all those other colonialists too. We're just going to erase them out of our history books. Is that good for our country? Did they do nothing good or nothing right because they owned slaves? That's faulty. If you take every person that has a stained biography, any leader, any president, any governor, any pastor, any person anywhere who has a stained biography, and you say, nope, erase, you have no one left. You have no one left. You see it in the news today where someone wants to be elected to an office and one side or the other starts digging up what they did when they were 18 and they're 50 now. It will never end, ever, because I stand before you with a stained biography. That thinking doesn't work. It's totally political and it divides our country. It is totally for, and I'm not talking sides, I'm talking any side. That type of reasoning only divides our country. That is not God's way. We all stand stained. We all stand in need of Gilgal. There are many stained people in our history who have done great, great things. For sure in slavery, in the issue of slavery, for sure there is work to be done today. But this type of reasoning is total politics to the divisiveness of our country. This is total party support. And there are other issues. There are other issues of sexual immorality, of so many other things. And they are being set up and they are dividing our country. Rather than reconciling, these issues are raised up on a political platform and they are divisive to our country. I'll ask you this. You know your Bible. Why does the Bible address, speak into slavery? It's in there. Slaves, obey your masters as if you're obeying Jesus Christ. Masters, treat your slaves as if they have a master in heaven, their Father, Jesus Christ, God. You know this is God's child. Your slave is God. And on it goes. Treat them this way, on it goes. Why does the Bible address slavery that way, and on it goes? It doesn't say, you heathen, turn him loose. What are you? It doesn't say that. says, you treat him like he's God's child and you treat your master like you're treating Jesus Christ. And on we go. Why? Because slavery is a symptom of a deeper cancer. And the Bible speaks into it and moves on to the cancer. Oh, that's a real nice growth you have on your arm there. Let's just divide up over that. When there's cancer eating from the inside. And so the Bible recognizes the symptom. It recognizes the tumor. And it goes to the cancer. It goes to the issue. That's why your Bible mentions it. It's a symptom of a much, much deeper, divisive, destructive issue in your heart. Sexual immorality issue flying around. It's a symptom of a much greater issue. But they will raise up and put side against side in our country on sexual immorality, on Thomas Jefferson's birthday, on the Confederate flag, on slavery, on anything else. Side is posed against side for politics, and it's killing our country. It's dividing us like this. We've never seen this division. We all stand stained, and we all stand in need of reconciliation. We all stand in need of Gilgal. Today, I've rolled away the shame and the stigma and the finger pointing of Egypt. And our country needs that. That's the answer for America today. You and I, we're on the front lines. We are on the front lines. Because we know another way. We know a way of forgiveness. We know the way of reconciliation. We know the way of unity in Christ. We know we're all stained. We all have a history. You can point the fingers at me for years and years and years and point back in shame and go, but you, but you, but you, but you. I stand before you guilty. Except by the blood of Jesus Christ and my Gilgal. When he looked at me and said, today, Terry, I've rolled away the reproach of your Egypt. I've washed you. I've rolled it away. Your shame and your guilt and the finger pointing all those years ago. And that's our message. That's our message. This country is not going to heal on politics. I promise you. You pick your side, you vote, you do what you want to do, but you're not going to fix this country based on politics. It is not going to happen. This country will be healed when it goes to Gilgal. And I will make this statement. America will never be free again until we learn this. Oh, you're free. You're free to come and go. But you will never, this country will never be free again until we learn to go to Gilgal. Today, America is in need of Gilgal. And they're not going to give it to us. They're dividing us over politics and money. And that's all. So don't jump on the bandwagon of sexual immorality, one side or the other. Don't jump on the bandwagon of, oh, slavery, I'm going to kneel with this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I like Alveda King, Martin Luther King's niece, just said, I don't think Colin Kaepernick really knows who Betsy Ross was. That's coming from Martin Luther King's niece. You're not going to find the answer to reconciliation. You want to change America? I want to change America. I want to change the whole country. I want to change every person in this town. I want every person to say, that's the friendly church. I want every alcoholic in town to come in here and go, I come here because you love me. I want good people, people who've managed to, with God's help, to maintain a solid life, a foundation. I want them to be here and to go, help, we're here to support. I'm a Cobra helicopter and I'm running a path for the Apache behind me. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I'm clearing a way to the cross of Christ. And some of you, you've never been an alcoholic. You've never been broke. You've never been divorced. Get your guns out and clear a path to the cross of Jesus Christ. Because there's a whole lot coming behind you that have and they need you. This country needs Gilgal, not politics, not the crap they're feeding us. My family needs Gilgal. You read my biography, there are chapters of shame. No more finger pointing. I only know freedom through Jesus Christ and His Gilgal. As individuals, we need Gilgal. There's too many of us. There's too many of us living a life of shame, carrying with us shame, finger pointing from years ago. And I'm here to tell you, God says, today, I'll roll your stone away. I'll roll that stone away. If you come to me, you come to Gilgal, I'll make that cut. I'll wash you with my blood. I'll roll that shame away. America needs us because we have Jesus. We have been to Gilgal. This is the solution to this country. Not CNN, not Fox. This. You are Gilgal. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for Gilgal. Lord, I've been to Gilgal, and sometimes I go back. And you are good. You are faithful every time through the blood of Jesus Christ to roll away my shame. Wash us and use this family to bring freedom once again to this community, to our families, our friends, our loved ones, the broken, the hurting, the angry. Bring us to Gilgal, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.